Welcome into the Friday, March 8, 2024 Market Plus. Joining us again, Ross Baldwin, Jeff French. Gentlemen, good to have you back.
Great to be here, Paul.
Do you think we were nice to him second time through?
It's great.
Do you think
smooth?
Should we ask him if we were nice to him? Were we?
You were. It flew by. Flew by again.
It does fly. You brought up a point during the broadcast. We kind of had to skate over it just a little bit. There was a WASD report that I asked Jeff about. You have a cattle on feed report coming up next week. Jeff asked you, basically, do you trust what the numbers are right now? What is confusing to you or interesting that we should be watching in this next report?
The cattle on feed report will be 2 weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
But the thing that gets a little confusing with the cattle on feed reports is when you look at last March at the on-feed placements markings number. That is the benchmark for what this report is compared against. And last March, we had placements very low, 92.8% placements. And we were talking about the low placements in the last report. That was driven off of lack of feeder auctions, which was driven off of the tumultuous weather that we had. So feeders that would have been placed in January are going to get placed in February. So we're going to have high placements in this next cattle on feed report that we're going to see. And it's driven off of, we've got really a couple months worth of feeders all getting placed, and it's compared against a low number. But you got to step back and look at the big picture that you didn't change anything. You're just shuffling some cattle around. Those cattle that would have been placed in January, they're going to weigh a little bit more going in, getting placed in February. And so in the big picture, it does not change a whole lot. At the end of the day, you got to look at the numbers that we've seen that we're working with. Look at what the cash market's doing, rallying back to the highs. You look at how tight these inventories are, the cow herd, the all cattle and calves. And the cattle outside of feedlots, the feedlot inventory number, that's the tightest since the early 70s. That's the big one to me.
When you say things like that, then I have to ask another question later, but it does give you pause for concern, because when we keep talking about inflation that starts with 70s, it kind of makes you wonder what the parallel is. We'll save that for another day. Jeff, I'm going to start with you. Keith in Illinois wants to know this was from Facebook, what percentage does the farmer hold unpriced today, and what percentage do we need to get down to see prices go higher?
So I think a lot of grain was moved when that March option contract was going off the board here 2 weeks ago. I think a lot of guys threw in the towel instead of rolling it to May. And the old crop that is still in the bin, I think those guys, they sold what they needed to. Now they're going to go with it into the summer and see what happens here with the summer market, see if there's any type of weather delay, problems. So my number would be is I bet they're, half sold on corn and probably 60 to 70% sold on beans. I think a lot of beans have moved here. There's still a lot of grain out there, but we've moved some here in the last 2 months for sure.
Do we need to see that number go below 40% before a significant move in the market?
Well, or just a change in psyche, and today could have been the start of it. Again, it's one day. I want to see some follow through, but it's the one day that we've waited the last 4 months to see. And trust me, the funds, and I said it again on the show, but it's the first time that they're going to feel uncomfortable with this many short positions.
Speaking of uncomfortable, Paul in Minnesota wants to know about China. China is buying from everybody else in the world but the United States. Any ideas why?
Price, number one. Availability. But yeah, something is going on there, because if you look at their January and February bean purchases, and that's not just from us, this is all their purchases, it's a five-year low. So something is happening there. Obviously they can make it up, but to start out the year, they've kind of pulled back the reins on their bean purchases. So is that telling a story down the road? There are many people thinking that the Chinese economy could be catching a cold here, so we'll see if that happens.
But I think some of the reports were that China was buying from Brazil. Say Brazil gets low on product again, then the United States becomes an option. So we're not option A, we're like option B?
Right now we are.
Yeah.
Brazil right now is, about 50% harvested. They've been selling aggressively, as they should.
Right, and dealing with harvest lows.
Yes.
Harvest pressure pushes their price down, makes it more attractive. The dollar, what do you think of the dollar's movement in this discussion?
6-week low here today. you know, is it enough to attract? I don't think quite yet. We start breaking below that 103 level, then maybe it is, but it looks like we could push lower here, no question about it.
Let's go dollar into the consumer and the inflation rate. You know, we have the State of the Union where inflation gets mentioned quite a bit. It's always that consumer. Do you see any signals at the store of that are a flashing warning to the cattle market?
Right now, no. Beef demand seems pretty robust. Honestly, I would say as a whole, beef demand is resilient, is what anyone has probably been hoping for across the beef industry. You've got choice boxes. It's back up to 306, the 307 range, which is the highest we've been. I would throw out there last year, the high we got up to was 343. I think we're going to take that high out over the next few months. There's no question, though, beef, it's high priced. Beef production right now is running a little over 4% lower year over year. We're down 8% in the last 2 years for beef production. Slaughter so far is 5% lower this year. That is naturally gonna put some strength on the cutout market. But the thing that you gotta go back to is it's a supply and demand market. The supplies are gonna continue to get tighter and you still have the demand there. You still have the consumers that do want beef. And there are gonna be people that are gonna eat less beef. It has to, like that's the job of the market. But for right now, I don't have a ton of concerns about beef demand. Exports have remained solid also so far in the year.
Is that why, go back to the hog discussion, is that why you see a little bit of that optimism that I think you had a couple weeks ago about hogs? Is that's an alternative? The chicken market, the poultry market, is an alternative as beef remains high?
Yeah, I mean, the beef demand has been robust. The correction in the beef market, in the cattle market, is not going to be coming from the small supply side. In my opinion, it's going to come from the consumer when the prices get so high. And I don't think we've been there. I mean, I've been to two steakhouses here in the last month, and I've waited 30 to 40 minutes each time going there with, you know, bringing my family out, family of five. So it's a little bit bigger table. But no, the demand remains good. Hogs above $100 here this week. They've held that mark in the summer contracts. That's good to see. I think we could work up in that 108 and 110 area.
Let's move another global story. Let's do Phil in Ontario now. He had a question about wheat because he says we continually hear about Russian wheat dominating the supply side of the market, keeping a lid on prices. How big was their crop? How and why do they discount it so successfully? And how will this impact U.S. wheat across wheat acres in the future?
Well, it was supposedly 91 million metric tons. I mean, they had a good wheat crop, and you know, obviously they're coming out of dormancy here, just like us here in North America. But yeah, they continue to undercut not just our wheat prices, but French Matif wheat. It's how low is low enough? I mean, that's the one thing that we got to see. And I don't know if we've hit that, but you know, again, we've thrown a lot of bearish things at this market. Again, the weaker dollar, hopefully that can help out with the wheat exports. Wheat exports have been, not really strong. They could definitely be much better.
And wheat's been a weight on corn and soybeans, and then corn's a weight on the other one. I mean, they've all kind of been very interconnected here lately, too.
Yeah, I mean, so when wheat gets 80 cents, within 80 cents of corn prices, I mean, then you'll start to see that potentially the cattle feeder would, you know, switch to maybe feeding some wheat. But right now it's still over a dollar, so we're not quite there yet. But that's something that we'll have to watch down the road.
He must have seen me write the word feed down. We're going to get to feed needs in a minute. I have one more question about corn. Mike in Iowa, and this is, again, I just want to reiterate one more thing, but I'm going to put Jeff on the spot here. Looks like the bottom might be in for corn. I know Jeff's going to say, let me see what Monday brings. But what kind of bounce should we be looking for to sell unpriced old crop?
Old crop, so we're 30 cents off the lows right now. So, you know, maybe if you don't want to sell, you buy some puts to protect it. We can easily go down from here. But I would be looking to sell 448. There's a double top up there in the May. And then I want to sell around 465 again. That'd be 50 cents off the contract lows. I think any 20 to 30 cent rally in this market needs to be addressed. And that's either with a cash sale or with buying some put options to protect the downside.
And producers need to be mindful of the basis values on what corn's going to do. I mean, at the end of the day, like Jeff's saying, I mean, you got to ratchet down what you think the bounces are going to be in the corn market, but there's still going to be a lot of corn that's got to move, and which is going to put pressure on the basis.
And how is it going to move? I mean, that's that whole look at the Mississippi. So is it all heading west through the PNW? Not much corn. It's usually the wheat that goes north.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all looking like, I mean, for right now, for the time being.
River levels are much better than they were last summer. And, you know, hopefully we do get some spring rains where mm-hmm. we don't have that, again, affecting the basis. But the river levels are much better here right now.
Let's close with this, Ross, on feed needs. Are you advising people to be covering those right now?
For guys that need some coverage on the nearby market, we've been talking to guys about when cash corn was down this $4 level, low $4 range. I think you need to be locking in 2 to 3 months worth of corn needs. I'm not terribly bullish corn, but from a sheer risk management standpoint, $4 corn, it works with your cost of gain. Your cost of gain is extremely manageable at these levels. I do think with the just look at a 15% stocks use ratio in corn, that don't make me bullish. And I do think with the carries that we're seeing, there's a lot obviously hinging on the growing season, but if we grow a good sized crop in this country, you're going to see the back end of the market continue to roll down where the front month goes off. So I do think there's opportunity to buy cheaper corn further out, but with low $4 cash corn, you should be definitely covering some needs here.
Ross Baldwin, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
All right, Jeff French, good to see you as well.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks. The regular market analyst. We're going to change your name, I think, on that. All right, next week we are going to look at the hope hog producers have for better times ahead, and we'll have the commodity market analysis with Matthew Bennett. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.